Hello and welcome into the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer, getting you ready for the biggest non-conference tournament in the country. At least it very often is, and this year with something like 11 combined national championships in the field, it's a pretty good one, and that is the Maui Invitational, officially the Maui Jim Maui Invitational. Maui Jim, I believe, makes sunglasses or something of the sort. And I like the name of Maui Jim Maui so much that I've made sure to use it in all of my stories. But that is what is on deck for UNLV. They are 3-0, just finished off a 20-point victory against Southern Utah last night. As we record this on Thursday, the Rebels will travel to Hawaii. Friday, 5 a.m., they get on a plane. First game is Monday night, 8:30 local here in Las Vegas against UCLA. Ray, how excited are you for this event? What do you think that we're going to see out of UNLV?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that there's 11 national champions and UNLV's got one of those, high fives around, atta kid, yep. UNLV's 3-0. We expected them to be 3-0 with the competition, but I think the manner in which they've won their last two games leads you to be optimistic, at least for me, who's usually always optimistic. But they've got some good pieces, and I think Rebel fans are fairly curious. I know they're fairly curious about how they will perform against a better team in UCLA, which is the game Monday night. So a lot to be learned in a few hours, or a few days, my fault.
Are we positive that UCLA is better?
They've already lost a game, right?
Yeah. They lost at home to Monmouth.
You look at their roster, which I was doing just because I haven't not that up to date on college basketball. But before we did this, I was looking at it, and it seems like they have all these players you've heard about since they were high schoolers. So it seems like they have a lot of talent, and it's a big step up. And it probably still is, even though they lost to Monmouth. But that being said, I don't think they're great. I don't think maybe a month ago or so you bring this up and people are saying UCLA should easily beat UNLV. People on the outside, not Ray Brewer, just so I don't get yelled at for that one. But I think now maybe you look at it, it looks a little bit more evenly matched, and I don't think you'd be surprised if either team won.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up from what UNLV has faced. But I'm just, you know, I'm not sure where it really should be at. UCLA had the one loss, struggled in another game. I think talent-wise, the teams are probably comparable. You could go, you know, one way or the other. I think coaching, you give UCLA the advantage with Alford. But throw them together, late night game in Maui, and who knows? You know, this UCLA team very much looks like one that if they're going to make a run at a third straight Sweet 16, it's going to be, you know, later in Pac-12 season when they kind of come together. I think they're figuring a lot of things out right now. But that doesn't mean that UNLV is a ton better off. You like what you saw in the Southern Utah game. Pat McCaw had a nice breakout. Steven Zimmerman, pretty quiet and still gets a double-double. Seagears was good. I've been a little concerned at how Seagears and Wamu are kind of working in some of the shots that they're taking, not necessarily the best ones, but just in general, it feels like the flow isn't quite as good when it's rotated to them, particularly with Wamu. But I think those are things that tend to get sorted out. This full court pressure worked very well against Southern Utah, as you would expect it to. It's supposed to be able to, you know, kind of kill less athletic and certainly teams that don't have the type of depth that UNLV does. Well, what are we thinking against UCLA? You know, how well is this going to work when the athletes are of comparable skill?
You know, for me, I think that's the great question going in. It's tough for me to look at it with blinders on because they really looked athletic and long, or at least it felt like they were athletic and long these past few games. And
well, they certainly are, but, you know, part of it you have to take into account going on the road and then also just the competition level. And that's
a
more,
big,
you know,
part of it.
Well, the Highlands game I'm just tossing out.
Okay.
Southern Utah is better than they were. They're not some great team by any means. They're not going to go win the Big Sky, but it's an improved team. And they, you know, the one thing we knew coming in that they could do is they could shoot three-pointers. And even a lot of the ones that they hit, they ended up going something like 8 of 21. even some of the ones that they hit were contested shots that UNLV would be okay giving up. Like Southern Utah made some plays just to try and hang in there, and they still, you know, weren't really able to do that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is just I'm not saying that they're not going to have be effective against UCLA running the press, or that they will be. I'm just saying maybe the last two games I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into. I mean, I think they were there's a huge divide in the talent level.
Yeah, that's true. The other kind of aspect of this, it's fairly similar to last year, where UNLV opened the season. The very first game was Morehead State, and they win by two. So kind of same thing as Cal Poly. The difference there was that they struggled then again against Sam Houston State before heading out to the Coaches versus Cancer Classic, where the whole idea is, all right, we're going to get a chance to play Duke again. All we got to do is beat Stanford, and they lost by 29. So kind of similar idea here, where the second game, win or lose that second one, you would much prefer to play Kansas than Chaminade, but you have to get through UCLA first. This time it's 3 games in 3 days. Last year it was 2 games in 2 days. But that first game is just so big because of what it sets up for the rest of the week.
You know, by comparison, last year when we sat here and we knew UNLV had a step up in competition against Stanford, I think we sensed that they were going to lose to Stanford. Right, that they were too young, that the travel to Brooklyn, whatever it may be. At least you guys, probably not me, but you guys definitely sensed, and I don't want to speak for you, but at least I just think the general consensus, why don't I use that word, was that UNLV was going to lose to Stanford.
I don't think that was the case. I think most people expected them to win.
Okay, well, let me finish.
Wasn't that game like a pick'em?
It was right around there. Yeah.
Okay, well, this year, to complete my thought, which I was proven wrong before I had a chance to complete. This year I sense that the consensus is that UNLV is going to beat UCLA. I sense. Now, will UCLA be the betting favorite? Maybe by two?
What are these hand motions?
Since that's the main purpose of the point spread, that would be a pretty good indicator that would be the consensus. I think you may have just disproven your point. Am I wrong?
The consensus with Rebel fans.
Okay.
I think the consensus with Rebel fans both years is that they're going to win those particular games.
No, because there's like Rebel fans like my dad who somehow, despite being 71, learned how to take a picture with his phone last night at the empty arena and texted it to me and was like, 5 minutes before tip, do you still like Dave Rice as your coach? Who are just like habitually negative and are looking for ways for them to fail.
I mean, he's not wrong about the attendance. It has been going down. And the Highlands game, it was under 10,000 for the first time since Dave's been here. Last night's was listed at like 10.5 or 10.8, something like that. So he's, as far as his criticisms go, that's not a bad one.
Yeah. He loves to comment on your stories.
Like comment to you, or he comments
physically
in them?
Physically comments. Then he calls me and he tells me that he's commented. And I say, oh, God, let me go read it to make sure he didn't say anything that could potentially
too bad
get me a trip upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, I was way off because Stanford was an 8.5-point favorite. So I think it's fair to say this game's going to be closer than that, at least from the perception standpoint.
Yeah. I didn't remember it being that big of a spread. I would have guessed 4 at the most. But yeah, there you go. Should have laid the points then, and we'll see who you even can lay the points with this year. I think UCLA -2 pick, right? I mean, right around there feels about right.
And I just don't know why though, because UCLA, they have a loss. They haven't looked good. Am I right? Have they?
I mean, I haven't watched them, but it's certainly
they
on
haven't
paper,
looked
they
particularly
look,
good
yeah,
though.
But you still look at the roster, maybe it's just because they've made those two tournament runs that Taylor talked about, and they still have a lot of guys that you feel like you know are good players, and in the Ray Brewer book, little counts more than experience, and they have experience. You could say that. I don't know how Tony Parker is still playing there. It seems like he's been there since 2008.
Yeah, you know, it's a 3-point overtime loss to Monmouth, a 5-point victory against Cal Poly, and they do play tonight against Pepperdine. So, no, it hasn't been a good start for them, but everybody knows that they do have players, and you kind of trust that Alford can bring those things together to make them work. You know, like they got Jonah Bolden coming off the bench. Isaac Hamilton there. Is this his first full year? Or maybe he played all of last season. But anyway, that was a former UNLV recruit who ended up picking UTEP and didn't play there a second, the whole ordeal that he had behind the scenes. But, yeah, UCLA's got a lot of players. And so I think the expectation is that at some point this is going to come together. It's just sort of a question of when. And, boy, I'm just glancing over their schedule. They've got a ridiculous non-conference schedule. After the Maui Invitational, they've got Kentucky at home. They go at Gonzaga and North Carolina on a neutral. All of that before the Pac-12, and that could also include a game against Kansas if they were to defeat UNLV. So both UCLA and UNLV in positions where even if the Maui invite does not go as they plan, they're going to have some opportunities to get some big victories later in the non-conference schedule.
I know you guys.
What are you smiling about?
No, I just, you guys both went to Kansas, and nothing would make me more happy than UNLV beating Kansas.
Well, wouldn't you prefer it in the MAC next year? That's the one that would be the most fun.
I know,
right?
But I couldn't take the misery of the whole year of you guys ribbing me.
Have we been ribbing you for the last year?
No,
you know that UNLV
could.
Just lost to Kansas last year, right? And we haven't said a thing about
they
it.
They played really good.
Because we don't care.
You're talking about other people in the office. There's no way. I don't think we would rib you at all. On the other end, though, if UNLV beats Kansas, we will never hear the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll probably just shrug our shoulders.
Bro, I got very little to go on here, okay? I got to take off.
That's a good point, Case. Like, we would take all kinds of heat, even though we are really on the outside of this whole thing.
Brewer would remind us about it once a week, I'm sure. Like, hey, guys, remember when UNLV went in there and beat Kansas? Yeah.
I mean, I just think that you guys are, you know, bigger men than me.
I mean, I thought it was pretty cool when San Diego State went into Allen Fieldhouse and won, to be honest.
Again, you're a bigger man than me. You're okay watching the Bears lose with the hopes that they might get a better draft.
Well, now I'm screwed in that regard because they're 4-5, and so they're just destined for middle of it. Now I've reversed that, and I'm back to rooting for wins. They don't get me started on the Bears. They screwed all that up.
Yeah, I'm willing to and like I said, I'm not a huge fan. I watch KU, but I don't live and die. They have one loss this year, and everyone acts like it's the end of the world. I'm like, whatever. I would be willing to say they can lose if I could see this UNLV-KU games. I'd love to see that. I really hope they both win. I mean, these are the two teams I follow the closest and have some connection to. So I'm willing to give you that chance of UNLV beating KU if it means we get to see it. I just really hope that they both – I mean, Kansas is going to be Chaminade, but I really hope that UNLV can find a way to beat UCLA and we get that game.
So Monday, Taylor, our college basketball expert, the AP releases its top 25. UNLV probably receiving votes now? I'm asking you. Are they probably? I'm sorry. I should have that in a question form.
I mean, no. I don't know. Maybe.
If they beat UCLA?
Well, but the poll comes out on Monday.
The following Monday.
Oh, sure.
If they beat Kansas and UCLA.
Well, yeah.
Are they in the
top
10?
Probably.
Yeah. Look at him. What are you so excited about? Why do you care?
This Monday, no way, though, right?
No.
Okay. Just make it.
That's what I thought the question was. I was so confused.
Some poor soul out there will give UNLV a vote.
Even this week, you think?
Yeah.
Based on a 2-point win against Cal Poly, that's the only real competition they played.
Based on a dunk that was all over the
That's internet. True. That is true. That's a good
He
point.
May have a point there. You have the dunk and then the 20-point win against Southern Utah might be enough. So as we mentioned, UNLV would need to beat UCLA in order to face Kansas in the second game. On Wednesday, they could potentially play Indiana, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, or St. John's. But if they lose to UCLA – Ray, who's waiting for him?
Chaminade.
And who plays for Chaminade?
Oh, Dantley Walker.
Your boy, Dantley.
You need to mention him in about three headlines.
Free Dantley.
Is he playing?
He is averaging 7 points per game in 20 minutes per game. So he's coming off the bench for Chaminade, but he's played 20 minutes in their two games, 4-for-9 on three-pointers, 4-for-10 overall. He took a non-three-pointer. A little bit shocking there, kind of an upset. This is like the one, I guess, good news although no UNLV fans would see it this way, I'm sure. But this to me is the one good news, that if UNLV does lose to UCLA, at least I get a Dantley Walker game, and I hope he just takes 30 or 40 threes. But otherwise, like, you know, Chaminade's the home school in this thing. Definitely don't belong with the overall competition, and so generally you don't want the team that you cover or that you follow to play them, because it's just sort of a wasted game there. And while that's certainly true in the bigger sense, UNLV is the only team that could really get anything story-wise out of this game with having a former player on the team. But that's certainly not what UNLV fans are hoping to see. I think the Kansas game is what everybody wants. Just even if you go in and end up losing by 20 or something like that, you get the RPI help. You get just the experience of playing against them, and considering you after Maui, you know, you have the Prairie View A&M game, but then it's very quickly to Wichita State, to Riverside, the Oregon game at MGM, not too long, you know, a month from today, I think, is the trip to Arizona. So all of that is coming up very quickly, and so UNLV would like to get as much as it can out of this Maui invite. Let's go prediction time here. We got to have kind of a quicker episode today before I rush off to UNLV practice. What will UNLV's record at the Maui Invitational, the Maui Jim Maui Invitational, be?
Go first, Case.
Well, just because I know what Brewer is going to be, I feel like this game's about 50-50 with UCLA, and since I have to be the negative one, I'm going to say their record after the Maui Jim Maui Classic is 4-1. But I certainly hope that it's – well, I guess I hope it's 4-1 too, because I hope they lose to
– No, that's not mathematically possible. They're playing three games there.
Oh, I guess yeah, you told me not to count the New Mexico Highlands game.
Oh, there fair. You go. Sorry. I was thinking for memory purposes, it still counts in the record books.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm going to pick UCLA ever so slightly. I think they win that game. I think UNLV loses that game, excuse me. I think they beat Chaminade. I'll say they win the third game.
Yeah, probably. If that's the order of them, loss, win, they would probably play Wake or Vanderbilt, is my guess.
I'm going to say, since you're asking us both,
I am.
W over UCLA, Losky to the KU Hawks.
What?
Man.
You're going to be so upset if they go and beat Kansas and you didn't predict it? Come on.
Listen,
I don't want
the listeners to think that I'm irrational, which you guys know I'm not, because we're friends. And then I don't know whoever they would play in the third place game then.
Yeah. So again, probably like Wake or Vanderbilt, assuming that Indiana goes through on the other side.
You know, Wake played last night, and I was piecing together a three teamer at like 3:55, and I needed one last team, and one of my colleagues had the play of the day and picked them. And I said, what the hell? He knows college basketball.
I hadn't actually checked on that score yet, so you're saying it didn't go well.
They gave up 91 points.
Oh. Brewer's also kind of changing the story because he was playing, quote, Keno with the sides and just throwing sides at them. He goes, what about Wake Forest today, Kiefer? And I was like, well, it's Taylor's play of the day. And he's like, that's enough for me. So he came up with Wake Forest on his own, too. Yeah.
Well, you're right. You're welcome.
Danny Manning because he's a Hawk. I know how you guys
okay. Are. Couple of things there. One, I don't care really who was a Jayhawk while I was being born. And also, I would never call them Hawks. This is actually on Case Kiefer and I used to have a TV show at Kansas. On the last episode ever, we had the women's basketball coach on. And one of the things, like, Hawks is just as you just did there, a shortening of Jayhawks around there. It's not a popular one, but some people do it. I'm very anti that because of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And so I suggested to her that the shortening be the Jays as opposed to the Hawks. And she did not go for that.
She said it was too Creighton.
Yeah.
I remember that. She's like, oh, then you get into Creighton territory.
Well, that's – look, I hate Creighton too, but that's better than Iowa. Marginally so. So we've got a 2-1 with a UCLA loss prediction. Are you going 2-1 or 1-2, Ray?
please. You got to ask that 2-1.
I'm just making sure you didn't pick a win against Kansas.
I was trying to be contrarian and go against Brewer with your answering your question, but we wound up with the same record. Just a different route of getting there.
You know what disappoints me, bro? You didn't even bring up the UNLV San Diego State game. What do I got? Plus 14 with you guys?
No, you have 10. The actual line is 15.
Oh,
and
I got 10.
And you were real happy about that 10. You thought you got some great value. Yeah, the return of Bobby Houck at Sam Boyd Stadium this weekend.
Right.
Is that you, Ray? Are you covering the game?
I'm looking forward to it, actually, yes.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Love me some Bobby.
You both went 2-1, which I feel like is the most rational thing to pick.
Go 3-0, Taylor.
Screw it. 3-0. Let's go 3-0. Maui Invite champs. They're bringing the banner back, although maybe the banner stays. I don't know. I'm not clear on all the Maui Jim Maui rules. But that's 3-0 championship.
Derek Jones, Naismith Player of the Year conversation after this.
Getting votes in the top 25. It's all happening. It's all happening. It's not completely unreasonable that they could win this. I'll go ahead and I'll predict it. Maui Jim Maui Invitational Champs 2015. Your UNLV Running Rebels. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next time.